Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza. I'm here with Matt Harmon. And of course, producer Brett is holding it all down for us. Happy week after Memorial Day weekend, Matt.
Yeah, happy week after. I didn't know that was a thing.
It is now.
It's weird in here because Brett is like at a different table than us.
Isn't he normally at a different table?
No, normally he's right here, right across from the seat in
right
which
here.
I'm sitting.
It's great pointing
which is
for
great
an
for audio.
Audio
medium. Yeah, I get it. But I just think it's a little weird. I wonder if after last week, you know, when you introduced him second, now he's trying to put distance between us.
Well, that actually is why I introduced you first.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
emails
it.
That you sent.
I did not
also.
Say false. Already, we're not even 5 minutes into the show and there's lies
Harmon,
being spread.
Have you had any cigarettes lately?
No, not to my knowledge.
I don't think that's accurate.
Why are you saying that?
I think you've been charting.
Oh, yes, that's right. See, my brain is so fried, I forgot about our wonderful
I was just
Twitter
a small
thread.
Part of it.
No, I think you were the biggest part of it, Liz. Got a lot of interaction on a Twitter thread in which I was just, because I'm nearing the end. My watch is almost over in terms of reception perception. I only have two more players left to go, and then we're done with the initial wave of guys I have to do for the ultimate draft kit. And then the other night I was talking about...
On Twitter,
I was talking about Albert Wilson's route chart because it finally got made. And, you know, I just put a nice gif of Don Draper, you know, looking very confident, sexy. And do you find Don Draper attractive?
John Hamm?
Yeah. As the Don Draper character.
Not as the Don Draper character.
But
I do find John Hamm attractive.
Okay. Okay.
Also, yeah. John Hamm and Al Gore. Al Gore on my hall pass list.
Al Gore is on your
what?
Hall pass
yeah,
list?
Yeah, that's true. He's the number one. He's atop.
This is kind of like do you watch Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Leslie Knope and Joe Biden. It's a very similar situation.
Oh, wow.
But
also one of us is winning that one now. The other one maybe
yeah, I wonder
regrets
if
something.
Amy Poehler would like to update that a bit.
I like maybe. Mountain Man Al Gore.
Yeah, he's more rugged.
The beard. Big guys with beards.
What you know? Can we say? I think that anyways,
you
so
tilted?
I posted,
what's up?
I'm very tired. So we posted I posted the Don Draper gif of him looking, like I said, confident, sexy, and satisfied. And that was that. This is my reaction to seeing Albert Wilson's, you know, reception perception chart, because I have been a fan of Albert Wilson for so long, going back and charting his 2018 work with the Dolphins. It was very satisfying. I think it was Josh Fantasy ADHD said, is it like sadness cigarette or after sex cigarette? And I was like, oh, definitely an after sex cigarette. Definitely. To which my colleague here jumped in on the thread.
And hilarity ensued.
You'll have to go find it on
yeah.
Twitter. We made a few.
Give us those corporate clicks.
We made a few dorkos on fantasy Twitter very uncomfortable, and it was amazing.
I never understood the throw up gif, by the way. I was like,
I'll never get it either.
Reverse it.
But listen, it was a lot of fun.
This has been another segment of Liz and Matt's Twitter theater.
Everyone tunes into podcasts to hear the hosts talk about their Twitter feeds and yeah themselves.
So
we are going to talk about other
that,
stuff.
Well, actually, we're going to talk about ourselves some more.
Oh well, all right,
because Matt and I have been both separately and together involved in some mock drafts. We were supposed to do one yesterday, but my colleague didn't send a link, and I didn't think that was my job. So we're just going to talk about the ones that
I didn't think it was my job either. Clearly,
are
we're
existing.
Good at, Liz and I are very good at communicating between the two of us, and Brett is a good facilitator of that communication.
Without Brett, we wouldn't speak.
We would be so done. This podcast would be a mess. Brett, you're wonderful. Just
thank
to
you.
Let you know.
The podcast is a mess. Our personal lives would be even more of a mess if it weren't for
yeah.
Brett.
Yeah.
Liz showed me the text of you going just off about how I was mentioned second
that
in
is
the podcast.
And the emails.
Unbelievable.
And the emails.
Unbelievable. I would never behave that way.
I mean, he took time to compose emails. This wasn't just like a fired off text situation.
Oh, yeah. And the images in the email were like properly sized.
I am being attacked very unfairly. Just want to let the listeners
know. You're weak
know
right
that.
Now. Your
I'm
mana
weak.
Is low.
I know. I'm weak. I probably slept like.
That's a real dorky.
I probably slept like 2.5, 3 hours last night. It's been a long day.
Can we get to something that anybody would be interested in?
Yes. All right. Liz was talking about mock drafts.
Mock drafts. I know Harmon wants to talk about himself, we're going to talk about these mock drafts. Matt and I have been doing some mocks. Maybe those are early. Maybe not. It's fun to shake off a little bit of rust. We have both done individual ones. I did one with the RotoWire guys, and Matt did one with the gents from 4-for-4. And then we are in one currently, a slow draft. That's a super flex start two quarterback league together. Matt is picking 5th in that one. I am picking 6th. So we are back to back, naturally. And Matt, why don't you talk about any surprises that you found in your
sure. So in this one, I took David Johnson at 5th overall, which I felt good about. It's nice to experiment, which I didn't do in the other one. Spoiler alert! But you know, you gotta kind of experiment. This is why it's mock season. Mm-hmm. You're experimenting, and so I felt good about that 5th overall pick. And then the surprise for me was in the 2nd round. I came back around and took Todd Gurley at 2.08. I mean, I don't love the idea of drafting Todd Gurley right now because it's a little alarming. I think you're putting your head in the sand a little bit if you're just like not at all concerned about what's coming out of Rams camp about him and, you know, that he's not,
that they drafted.
And that they drafted a running back with a 3rd-round pick. I mean, yeah, everybody knows the story now at this point. So I think you're putting your head in the sand if you're not a little bit worried. But at 2.08, it's like I'm willing to take the gamble there because he's not my running back one. He's not the foundation of my team. He's literally a secondary piece. And you're looking at him around guys like Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb.
What wide receivers were available around that time? Just for reference.
Zach Ertz also went 2 picks later. But the other wide receivers were Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Amari Cooper. Damian Williams also went a little bit later. And then I took Stephon Diggs in the 3rd round. So between my 2 picks there, I think at their best, obviously, I think there's a really disastrous floor for Todd Gurley, like a nightmare type floor. But at their best, he's going to help my team more than any of these other guys will. So that as a running back, too, I'm happy to take that risk there. Maybe that's not necessarily as a top line piece.
Got it. So in mine, I noticed that Ronald Jones, a drumbeat player that we've been discussing, I was very set on getting him in the 6th round. But he was taken one spot ahead of where I was picking, and I was shocked.
So he went in the 6th round?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's too high,
that's,
right?
But no, where he was going last year.
So I should also note, though, that this
is made that pick?
Not this guy. I should also note that this is a... Now. Matt, I'm speaking. This is a non-PPR draft. So running backs are going to hold in there. A little bit more value, at least that's like the old school way of thinking, and this is an old school way of scoring. I totally reached for Jimmy Garoppolo in this draft, and I took him in the 9th round, and I didn't care. I just wanted him.
I'm still a little hung up on this guy's team that you're showing me. Who the hell is that? I don't even know who that is.
Kadri Olison?
Who the hell is that?
I don't know, expert. Who is it?
I don't know. Never even heard of him. I like taking Ronald Jones as a sleeper. My guy here took him in the 6th round. I love taking Curtis Samuel as a sleeper. Guy takes him in the 7th round. This guy's aggressive. He's
getting all the sleepers.
He's taking AAF players too, apparently.
He is experimenting, as to your earlier point. This is experimentation season. And let's talk about the mock we're doing together. I was pretty confident that I was going to get DeAndre Hopkins. He was my auto draft pick at the 6th spot. I thought you were going to, you know, probably draft Melvin Gordon or one of those top of the 2nd tier running backs, and was, of course, not surprised, but absolutely annoyed that you did the thing that I had wanted to do.
Yeah, it was definitely an experiment there to be like, okay, so I took the guy I think I like the best out of that mm-hmm. 2nd tier of running backs, which is David Johnson in that group. Now, in this draft, I wanted to say, okay, so I want to do something different. Let me eschew running back here at the 5th overall pick.
Full point PPR.
Yeah, and go with the wide receiver. So I went with the best wide receiver, I think, in fantasy this year, which is mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins. And yeah, I think there's a pretty steep drop off between after that top 4 that we've all talked about as a consensus to the next group of guys.
I think the top 5 player. I mean, this is a whether or not you decide to mess with Melvin Gordon, and we'll talk about 2nd and 3rd tier running backs in a little bit, but like I think that outside of the top six picks, things get super, super muddy. You know, I decided to draft Davante Adams because I like him, because I think that, I mean, I probably could have gotten him later, but I didn't know if he'd get all the way around. I wasn't upset with the pick, although people had things to say about it.
I don't think that's a bad pick. Why what do people have to say about it?
Well, a lot of people like OBJ as the number two, right? But I think that that's the, like, sexy, flashy, obvious pick. I think that if you're looking at Davante Adams' record and the things that are coming to Green Bay and the fact that he doesn't, the quarterback that he has is more proven and the rapport that exists is more proven and that he's elite. Like, no, I can't deal with it.
You're right.
Sorry, Brett. And, you know, OBJ has a better highlight reel, but I want someone who's going to, like, move the chains for me and do the work for me. And that may not always be the sexiest pick, but there's value to it. So there you have it. I mean, I don't know in this draft.
Interestingly enough, we're comparing these two receivers, Davante Adams and Odell Beckham, if we're going to talk hashtag reception perception. Both these two guys are the only ones that I've charted in 2018 that have an above NFL average success rate on every single route on the route tree. So there's no, I mean.
So look at who's been able to stay healthy for a season and who hasn't.
And who is in a familiar spot. You know, I think we're all high on Odell going to the Browns. I can easily make an argument that he's going to be the best receiver in the game this year. But Adams, you know, is the clear one in this group. Not that I don't think Beckham will be the one there, but he's the clear alpha. He is attached to a better quarterback, like Baker Mayfield, but Aaron Rodgers, still better quarterback, in an offense that I think is going to be creative about how they use him and move him around. You know, there's talk he might take some routes out of the slot, et cetera. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't hate that pick at all.
You
suck at haters.
Thank you. You're taking Stephon Diggs in both of these. I do want to talk about, maybe we should just jump to the running back tiers, because I have in my second tier of running backs Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook back to back, and I labored over whether I should take Nick Chubb on my snake or if I should take Dalvin Cook.
Look at that. I took Dalvin Cook right after you.
I know.
We're so on
That's
the same
kind
wavelength.
Of why I wanted to discuss it. I'm assuming you have Dalvin Cook ranked above Nick Chubb.
Well, you know me, I don't have any rankings, but in my head,
you are higher on Dalvin Cook over Nick Chubb.
No, I think if Nick Chubb was there, I would have probably picked between the two of them, especially because I ended up going Diggs later. I don't mind having two players from the same offense, especially one that's highly constant, because I did have people ask me about, like, oh, really high on that Vikings offense? But not necessarily, but in that Vikings offense, you know, the ball is going three places. It's going to Adam Thielen, it's going to Stephon Diggs, it's going to Dalvin Cook. Like, that's it. There's no real third receiver. Kyle Rudolph is, you know, a stump. I don't know, whatever. Like, there's just not a lot going on.
Irv's
there.
A rookie.
Irv's a rook. Treadwell, give me a break. They don't have Lord Aldrick anymore. Mm-hmm. He's currently, like, the wide receiver 70 in Carolina, so I don't know. I was fine with taking Dalvin Cook there, and I did, I will say,
Did you waffle over anyone?
I did. There are great wide receivers still available in that spot.
You haven't taken a quarterback yet either.
I haven't, I know.
And this is a two-quarterback league.
I know, but look, I'm looking at it right now. I'm waiting on Matthew Berry to make his pick, and then I'm next.
And then I'm next.
And then you're next. I think I'm probably going quarterback here. And I feel, actually, because I looked at it where I picked the fourth. My fourth round pick was Marlon Mack. I thought about taking quarterback there. You had taken Carson Wentz right before me, which, great pick. I really like that. I might have thought about Carson Wentz there in that spot. But, like, there are other fourth round guys like Jameis, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff. Those are the ones that are going right before me.
You know, I think we're both going to end up, like, competing for Jimmy G.
Yeah, I mean, so
I've kind of put a pin on him till late. That's as my second quarterback.
Well, maybe I'll just take him at this next pick just to be a jerk.
Not surprising.
That's how Matt
shows his affection. If he's mean, you're like a third grader.
Yep.
Like,
no, the people who I'm, like, super nice to, those are the ones you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest with you, Matthew Berry's not listening to this. I think I might take Lamar Jackson at this pick
as your QB1.
As my QB1. Yeah.
All right. Not a bad pick. I wanted to ask your opinion about, because I did this in my individual mock. No, actually, I did not. But when I was asked to write up my thoughts about the RotoWire mock, I said that grabbing, and again, the RotoWire mock was a 14-teamer, so a little bit different. Talent pool obviously gets used up faster. Let's see, Larson, whoever that is, I forget the first name. Larson took AJ Green at the end of the third round. And I thought that that was an incredible value pick. And I'm watching AJ Green's value plummet. I get it. He didn't end last year healthy.
Hasn't ended like the last three years healthy, I think.
Well, but there's also the like, we'll worry about that when we worry about that.
Yeah.
Like, there are other receivers that are going to pop up and ascend, and you can't predict those, you know, in August, but they'll happen. And so if you're working the waiver wire, you'll be able to adjust. And that is part of drafting. I mean, the draft is just one piece of the entire season. But what was your thought? Why are you laughing?
Because I was like, oh, man, let's really get nihilistic here in frickin' May. Yeah, this is the dumb part about the fact that we'll take the next 3 months to like hammer on all these draft points
when you have a best ball product.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. But like for season long fantasy, it's, you know, like your team is going to just get hit by three bombs
in the first few weeks.
And then it's like your draft doesn't even matter.
What happened to silver linings, Matt?
I'm tired. I'm not 100%.
You're regressing. So what do you think of AJ Green at 3.06.
Cool. Love it. I like that pick of yours as well.
You don't have to say that. I'm okay with it if you don't like it.
No, I mean, you've been making good picks. If you were making crap picks, I would tell you that too. But you've been making good ones so far. I like AJ Green there. Look, he is a difference maker. You're not going to get... Think about the rest of the guys that are going around him. You know, I took Diggs a pick ahead of him. I'm going to... like.
I would have done that.
I don't think Diggs has top five wide receiver fantasy-wise in his range of outcomes. I don't think T.Y. Hilton has top five fantasy receiver in his range of outcomes. I don't think Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper. No, he definitely does not have, like, so all these other guys that went in the third round, I don't think any of these guys have top five wide receiver in their range of outcomes. I do think that exists for A.J. Green, even if it's a slim chance that it happens. So that's why I like that pick in the third round.
All right. Well, thank you. You didn't have to justify it for me, but I appreciate it.
You asked. I told you the truth.
You did take Marlon Mack, so I want to jump to this discussion about running backs and other tiers. Finally, I know I've been teasing it. You are all probably just so excited. You took Marlon Mack. I did a video about Marlon Mack earlier in the week. The question I was asked was, could he be a top 12 RB1, right? Producer by the end of the season. I took the over on that slightly. Mm. He's my RB15 overall. What are you believing him to be an RB1?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the one worry that you have with him is that he's just not involved in the passing game at all. I think he actually could probably be a passing game asset, but they just, I mean,
not
they,
in Frank Reich's offense.
They don't want to throw to him, and they like what Nyheim Hines does there. I like Nyheim Hines too. Cool. Like, so whatever, it's just probably not going to happen. But Mack was a verifiable volume runner last year when he was healthy. He was good. He's in a good offense. They didn't bring in any serious competition.
I don't consider all of that.
Yeah. And so.
But what about when Ryan Kelly was out? What about weeks 12, 13, and 14?
It happens. I mean, I don't take that too much seriously. I think he's in a good spot. Now, my question to you, so I took Marlon Mack at 4.08, which I liked, and the people liked too. It's always, I hate like tweeting out drafts because it's like you get the same thing. It's like when you tweet out a Twitter poll, like which wide receiver is better, and you get 50% of the responses say, how is this even close? Juju Smith-Schuster is better than the other 50%. How is this even close? Adam Thielen's better. You know, when you tweet out your draft, you get like 50%. Great stuff. And the other 50%, this is trash. You should retire and also play in traffic. So, like, you get a mixed bag. But people like the Marlon Mack pick, though. My question to you, I debated this when I was on the clock. Do I take Marlon Mack or Damian Williams? Which one would you have gone with?
That's actually part of the point. And I said I couldn't rank Marlon Mack above Damian Williams or Nick Chubb or Todd Gurley, for that matter. So that's why he's RB15, because when you look at the depth that we've talked about at this position, Damian Williams is my RB13. I feel more comfortable taking Damian Williams ahead of Marlon Mack. Although, you know, people are real scared about Carlos Hyde, which is just bullshit, people. GFY, it's not a thing.
We got a GFY on the podcast. All right. Here's my reasoning for taking Mack over Damian Williams. And Damian Williams, I think, has a higher ceiling in his range of outcomes because of that passing game and volume, because the offense, both these offenses are good. So that's maybe just a bit of a tie there. But Marlon Mack, I think, is safer than Damian Williams, maybe not on a week-to-week perspective or from a season-long perspective. And I think I took a little bit of a risky running back one in Dalvin Cook. So I was like, sure. Okay, for that reason, maybe I go with a guy that I think is a more secure volume player.
That is such a good point, Matt, because like making sure that your roster has balance is something that people rarely discuss.
Yes.
That is very, I'm a Libra. We are all about that balance, that congruency.
If you say so.
Don't pretend like you don't know. Not today.
I don't know. I don't know much about the zodiac horoscope stuff. What is that?
You're a Leo.
I've been told that I'm a Leo, but I don't know much about what any of that means. Now, I will say this. I agree with you that when you make your pick, you got to make your picks complement each other. That's also, especially when you get into a best ball type situation, you know, which we'll be doing a lot of best ball content.
Right,
upcoming.
You can't just take DJX all day long.
Yeah. You want to, like, you got to mix your Eric Deckers with your DeSean Jacksons. You know, like, all right, Eric Decker, I know what I'm getting every week. You know,
super current ref from the millennial.
Whatever, man. Eric Decker, I miss him in the NFL. He was a great wide receiver, super consistent, steady. I will never forget how many people hated Eric Decker when I showed up at the NFL Network my first year there, and no one wanted to draft Eric Decker. Well, guess what?
He slayed. In New York.
And I slayed. That was my like only good year playing fantasy in the last.
Your workload was probably the lowest ever.
I don't know about that. That was a lot of grunt work back then. I was like coding and editing articles, which.
So would you put Marlon Mack in the third tier of running backs?
No, I think he's tier two.
He's still tier two. Interesting. I put him in the third tier. In tier two, outside of those top five we've discussed, I want to talk about James Conner because this is the time of year, Matt. I don't know if you're aware. We're like little news nuggets become giant molehills of supposed information that people get all kinds of worked up about. Yeah. Tilted even,
about. You could say.
They shook. So, James Conner and Jalen Samuels are apparently running in two-back formations in OTAs. Are you scared?
Dernie Snell hype, too.
Well, you know? I want to talk about that, actually.
You do?
I do. I have a nug about that. But do you think James Conner within the top eight running backs is too high?
I'm not. Maybe I have, like, no reason to think this, but I just have not been all that jazzed about James Conner. Like for no particular reason.
I mean, why would you not love a local kid who beat cancer? That seems like a horrible person to root for.
Not as a person, but like as
a
fantasy.
Why would you not even look at that story?
As a I've never heard the story before. As like a fantasy asset. I mean, I know that. Maybe now that I'm thinking about it, he probably is a good pick. It's hard to say. We'll have to see what happens when the games start.
this is like Matt's opportunity to just completely lean into the hashtag running backs don't matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's fine. Whatever. Who cares? It's not the player I love the most in this tier, but I just get a weird feeling about the Pittsburgh offense. Like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I still come back to the fact that they have lost, in my opinion, one of the biggest difference makers in the NFL in Antonio Brown, not just with his play, but how the offense then gets defended, how then they run the offense. I just like right now.
And they're always a mess anyway.
And they're always a freaking mess. I mean, they have a good offensive line, no doubt. They probably will run the ball more. They definitely will run the ball at a higher percentage of their plays this year than they did last year, especially if their defense is better because of Devin Bush, whatever. But in the passing game right now, they still have Ben Roethlisberger, who was shaky to begin last year but ended really well. They have their best receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a great young player, but he's still a big slot receiver. I just don't think you can run an offense through that type of player. You need outside difference makers. And if Dante Moncrief is not going to be the GOAT as Liz thinks he is, James Washington is not going to break out, like probably isn't going to happen. I mean, what are we doing here? I just think this offense is a lot more limited than people think.
But that, from a fantasy perspective and not a like wins total perspective, that means that Jalen Samuels, who, as we at Yahoo all are very aware, is a converted tight end, could be used much more in the passing game. And I went back and looked at the weeks. Like, there isn't really any rhyme or reason to it. Samuels averaged over 4 targets per game over his last 7 games in the season. And that's when both of these running backs were on the field at varying levels because they were both fighting, you know, lots of injuries. And Samuels obviously was new to the playbook and all of those things. So if you're talking about having to be more creative with your pass-catching weapons, then maybe some of that passing work that we saw out of Connor last year, or that we are assuming will be copy and pasted from the Le'Veon Bell times, is going to be ceded to Jalen Samuels. So then maybe Connor isn't a top. I mean, I have him ranked RB6, but maybe that's too high. I'm not sure. We have to see what shakes out, but I think that that's.
You have to see what happens at the game start. Do you have David Johnson or James Connor higher?
I have James Connor at 6 and David Johnson at 7.
I would have David Johnson at 5. But
ahead of Melvin Gordon.
Yes, because
of the air raid offense that you're very excited about.
He said today, David Johnson did, that he is focusing on his conditioning because he expects to, or he thinks they're going to run 90 to 95 plays.
That's not going
to
happen.
That's not going to happen, of course. That's like when teams come out and say, like, just these illogical, like, oh, I'll probably give this running back like 34 touches a game. Like, that never ever happens. But it sets the expectation. I think it sets the point that the Cardinals are going to probably push to come out of the cellar where they were ran like the fewest plays in the NFL last year.
There's no doubt that Kingsbury is going to run the air raid offense, and it's going to be up tempo, and you're going to see four receivers and a running back on the field at all times. And that's why they drafted Hakeem Butler and added Andy Isabel, and they got your boy, your breakout candidate, Christian Kirk running around. And
Kevin White, your guy.
You know.
I think that's Brett's guy. Somebody actually tweeted at me this week. They were like, do you have any
takes?
No, yeah. Do you have anything on Kevin White,
like, and I said, reception perception.
Yeah, I just said not relevant, nothing relevant.
Oh man, Matt is real pithy on the tweets. You are.
I'm getting a little. I'm letting loose, man.
I can tell.
Like, the thing is, you come from the NFL, and it's all buttoned up and like whatever. Now, like, look, until someone,
now you're working with Liz Loza. Who cares?
Until someone tells me, you know, to tweet differently. I'm just kind of going to be me. I think that's one thing coming to
this.
So
here's my problem with David Johnson. Not a problem, because last year I had him, I think I had him like RB1 or RB2, like last year. Just thinking because
same
talent is the ultimate tiebreaker, right? But hold on. I know that we're expecting him to be schemed more in space, and that works out for his skill set, and he's still incredible. I mean, his numbers last year, given everything that was thrown his way, were not horrible. You know, I think he was still like an RB1. Nice. nice ab curl.
I'm gonna sit up.
But I also think that this is assuming that this all works.
Yeah.
So there's a giant experiment that we are running and just sort of like assuming that a coach who he had a losing record with Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to, like, make
squealed.
This work at the NFL level. Like, that is the piece of it. Like, we've all just sort of been like, yep, short quarterback, that's amazing. Cliff Kingsbury, that dude's track record is not shady at all. I'm sold. David Johnson to the edge and around. Yes! Like, come on!
It's the range of outcomes question to me.
That is the okay, now, new game. Every time Brad Evans says yards after contact, we drink. Your new one is
yards after contact per attempt.
Per attempt, excuse me. And we drink. Now, I'm going to bring tequila next. What do you prefer to shoot?
Oh, bourbon.
So, we're going to have to take a shot every
range
time.
Of outcomes. Range of outcomes, inflection point. Those are some of my favorites. But to me, like, when you look at this second tier of running backs that we're talking about, and I think, who of this group can I tell the story of how they become the fifth of the first tier of running backs, which does not currently exist? Todd Gurley, actually, yes, I do believe in his range of outcomes that exists, but there's also a very scary floor. But Melvin Gordon, I don't think that exists.
Why?
For him, because he's never finished a full season. That's always part of it. Last couple, or at least he comes in lame at the end of the years because he's
banged up
because his
workload is so high.
And I just also think, like, with Austin Eckler back there, he doesn't have the touch volume necessarily. Last year,
it was interesting in the postseason, though. People are blaming this on his knees, that in passing situations, that game against the Patriots, in fact, most of the passing work was ceded to Eckler and the kid out of Northwestern.
Yeah, Justin Jackson. Both those guys. Eckler and Gordon also made a lot of their production in the passing game last year, you know, but like big plays, not necessarily volume. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of unsustainability there. I do not think that exists for Le'Veon Bell. I don't think that exists in his range of outcomes.
Why? this is a point that a lot of people haven't.
Don't trust the situation.
The situation case, because it's a carnival, or the situation because of the offensive line. And when you look at a patient running back, like, that is the thing
also,
he does.
Also, like, we haven't seen him for a calendar year, which I don't – that's the thing I care the least about. But, like, it's still something.
I think
James Conner, don't think that exists for him. Joe Mixon, don't think that exists for him. Nick Chubb, don't think that exists for him. I do think it exists for David Johnson.
And Joe Mixon, it doesn't exist because of the offense that he is a part of.
The offense, I also just don't expect him to be. I can see in a high-paced, up-tempo, lots-of-plays offense.
McVay-esque.
Yeah, and I could, like, from a change around. But I mean, I think that, like, we said this during our pressing questions series. I said this. I'm not going to be enough of a steam bag to tell you the results are going to be the same. But from just a baseline perspective, the approach of the offense going from Mike McCoy, Byron Leftwich, whatever the hell they were doing last year, to Cliff Kingsbury is going to be as drastic of a change as going from my buddy Jeff Fisher and what they were doing there to the Sean McVay situation. That is that type. We're talking about that type of drastic change. And I think that David Johnson can be that 1,000 rusher, 1,000 receiver player in this offense.
All right, let's jump to these last two running backs I want to talk about. I have them ranked 10 and 11, Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook. Are you worried about this Kareem Hunt situation?
Because what I was saying earlier, like,
8 weeks.
Draft doesn't even matter. Tell you what, by week 8, you're not going to be remembering who you drafted. You're just going to be trying to win games.
100%, friend.
Plus, like, I mean, the Browns offense, you know, it could be really awesome this year. You want the lead bell cow guy. What if Nick Chubb is just so good during those first few games? It's like, Kareem Hunt comes in and just changed pace back. I think that in range of outcomes is possible.
I also think that, like, all of these offseasons, I mean, they've got to talk about Kareem Hunt in a favorable, flowery way right now, because it's a PR disaster. So you're going to get lots of, like, flowery,
talk about. Even PR disaster at this point, I feel like no one even cares anymore, which is kind of
sad.
Well,
they believe it to be a PR disaster. So there are going to be lots of puff pieces written about Kareem Hunt and the brotherhood of the team, and he and Chubb are going to work together. Don't believe them, folks. That stuff is just pontification and trying to get clicks.
Yeah. Works, apparently. Cook, I feel like he can outkick his ADP, too, I think. You know, as a feature back in an offense that wants to run, an offense that I think can be good this year. I like him. That's why I picked him in that draft as a second rounder.
It's the durability and whether or not the changes on the offensive line are going to gel and work, right? But again, I sort of feel like this is where we get to in our heads. I'm not going to say I do, but, like, this is like, oh, he could get hurt or, but I don't know. Like, I think we actually discussed this before we even worked together when you called me ma'am. And
oh my God.
That was
under attack again.
That is not under attack. These are just hashtag facts.
Listen, it was an experience that I was very young at the time. And
I clearly wasn't.
I made a mistake based on my Southern raising, you know, that I was being polite. And, you know, I regret what I did and I've learned from it. And I never call any woman ma'am ever unless it is in a very sarcastic fashion, like ma'am.
Right.
Ma'am.
Brett, sometimes you're a ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely ma'am it up sometimes.
You call people, or I am.
You are a ma'am.
Like, you're someone that should be called ma'am.
Yes.
Like, ma'am.
Yeah. Like, I'm angrily yelling at a flight attendant or something like that.
No.
No. But just like when you yell at us for, you know, taking the car out too long or like, oh, my God.
There are other authoritative figures in this building that we've discussed this.
We got to dole those out slowly.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's a tease.
So,
I'm so happy to be lumped in with them.
In this discussion, Matt and I believe I said at this table of fantasy bros that I would rather draft to ceiling because I'd rather finish last than like sixth, right? Like,
yeah.
Who cares? I'd rather finish. So if I'm going to go for it. That's the third one.
Liz,
I'm going to go for it.
Bleeps don't grow on trees.
I'm going to go for it.
How many do we have till we run out of bleeps?
I have to check the account, but we don't have many.
Oh, is it? Is this like a debit card situation?
No, no. I can make an hour of just
because it's May.
Pure tone.
You mean you can make a f-ing hour?
But good. I love that, Matt. Like, I love that you look at the talent and you look at those highlight reel moments, and then, as you mentioned, you balance it out with a later pick. So well done. There are questions. There's always going to be questions here. Let's just. I think we're on the same page. I think we've imparted some knowledge. I think we've learned something along the way. Now let's close.
I feel
with
a little less tired than when we started,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and so I'm here for you.
Yeah, this is great. You're bringing the energy up in the room, Liz.
You're welcome, friend. Now let's your turn to carry a segment because I hate this one.
And it's and my since turn you to drag it. The energy down. We're finishing up our over under segment today because Liz wants this over and done with more than she wants to be out of this podcast room with me. So we'll start in the South, where they call people ma'am. In Houston, they definitely call people ma'am, Liz, because that's the polite right thing to do. The over under here is 8.5 wins. How are you feeling about Houston over under 8.5 wins?
Over.
Me too. I like Houston.
11-5 record in 2018.
If they didn't dump me in the fantasy, which by the way, we're re-releasing on IGTV in the upcoming months, which poor Gustav, the social media editor who has had to edit that series twice.
But also it features your old hair.
Yeah. And I was fatter then too.
That's before you were juicing.
That was before I was juicing for sure. So, yeah, I think that, but, you know, it is what it is. I feel like I owe Gustav like a bottle of a bourbon or something, like, because he's had to put up with my horrific
acting. So here are the two amazing things about Houston, and they are both rookie draft
picks. I didn't
even
get to finish my point, which was that if they hadn't dumped me, I think they would have been a contender for my team of 2019, because I like them a lot this year.
I really hope that those tackles work out. And become immediate impact players. Because that is so key. I mean, Deshaun Watson definitely held on to the ball too long last year. I mean, half of a sack stat is a quarterback stat. But that O-line doing him no favors. And he's a stud. Like,
yeah,
Deshaun
so
Watson, top three quarterback. I will stand for you all day in overalls. Next, Indianapolis.
Oh, just one thing,
oh,
too.
Oh, Christ, Matt.
Their wide receiver core is really good if they all stay healthy. All right, moving on. Next, Indianapolis, 9.5 wins. I'm also going to go over on this one.
We're going over on this one. Oh my God,
we are definitely running out of bleeps. I can feel it in the room.
The Colts are surging. They're stampeding. We talked about it. Frank Reich in his second year. Andrew Luck back. Time to throw is nothing. A top five pass blocking unit, top five run blocking. They're studs. Yes, of course. They're at 10 wins last year. They can beat that. Jacksonville, 8.
What are we doing here? Under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woof. I don't like anything going on here. I mean, their defense can bounce back.
And there's been an upgrade in quarterback.
Didn't AJ Boye say something this week?
He's not having to make as many plays because the quarterback
is... Or he's not able to make as many plays. Like, man, defense not making as much plays in practice. By the way, AJ Boye, one of the coolest players
former
out there.
Former Texan.
I bet you he's a nice guy. I bet you he calls people ma'am. I've met him twice. He invited me to an after party after the ESPYs. I did not go.
You should have went.
He texted me. It's not really my scene. Well, we were not as tight back
then,
Liz.
I
remember,
didn't like you very
he
much.
Didn't like me very much. As you can tell, obviously, that's really changed. Now, Tennessee, 8 wins.
This one's tough.
I'm going to go under. But I could see it's somewhere between 7 and 9.
I'm going to push.
Okay. Quarterback. I just don't trust the quarterback.
Even with those swole legs?
Give me a break.
What about the other quarterback?
Don't trust. That's the fact that I'm going to have to see that other quarterback. I don't like that.
He's put on a bunch of weight. I mean, you could tell.
Good days.
He did not miss a leg day.
Good for him. Hope works out. His problem is his damn nerve in his elbow. What the hell is it was leg day?
But they also found Derrick Henry in the end down the stretch. And I feel like if you lean on that some more, then maybe there's an offensive tweak. Yeah, an identity that makes the team, you know, they've got a great O-line. They added Roger Saffold to me. That makes Derrick Henry's value awesome
well, you
to
know,
me.
You know I love Derrick Henry.
You touch his ponytail.
He is the only player that I've interviewed that just hugged me after the interview. And I was like, I love this guy so much. What a wonderful man.
Let's move to the NFC South. Atlanta, 8.5.
Over.
Division is just...
This division's tough. We have 8.5 for Atlanta, 8 for Carolina, and 10.5 for New Orleans. I think...
I'm going to go...
I think they're not a 9-7 team, so I'm going to go over, but only slightly.
I think I'm going to go under. I think there's 8. Yeah, I don't like Cutter going back there, and I don't
their
know.
Their offense
Julio,
could be so good.
It could be, but Julio's I don't know if I Calvin Leading Ridley is coming on. Mohamed Sanu, so it just feels like there's
lots to like there. I don't know. I think,
but think about the division. Do you think
this division's fun though, because like so many good offenses. There's going to be a lot of shootouts in this division for
this
fantasy.
Is about wins and losses. So Carolina 8. I think they're going over on that.
Push.
Really, this is some homegrown.
There's a lot of questions. Their roster looks much better now than it
you
did.
You just almost needed a cigarette after talking about this offense last week.
I know, and I have I like the Panthers. What can I say? I mean, sometimes you can't deny when something, you know, is real, even if it's, I don't know. I like the Panthers. I love the 49ers. Well, I like the 49ers, but I love the Panthers, and it's hard to not let that go. You know, and Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, I think they could be a nice breakout wide receiver tandem. It comes back to Cam Newton's health, of course. Mm-hmm. They've at least done some things on the offensive line. Maybe it's enough. If they sign Gerald McCoy, that's a really good signing for them. I don't think that ends up happening, but we'll see.
New Orleans, 10.5.
Over. Great roster. Their defense is awesome right now. I think they go over.
Who's their safety?
Von Bell.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. I think that could be if he continues to develop, that's a key piece. Tampa Bay, 6.5. I'm all over. Screw it.
Under.
I'll stand for it. Under?
Under.
Really?
I don't trust the quarterback. The defense is still horrific. And yeah, they just got like their best defensive player. Maybe. Debatable. Debatable. Who's, if it's not Gerald McCoy, who is it?
Devin White.
Devin.
Right. And he's a rookie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we're looking. Levante David, maybe.
Maybe.
So, I go under. I mean, they have an enviable cast of skilled position players, but that's about it.
I'm just to move to fantasy for a second, I am buying all of the O.J. Howard I can.
Yeah.
Late.
O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin. I mean, I think O.J. Howard's going to end up being kind of moderately expensive, though.
You do?
Yeah, because
he's cheap right now.
After the top 4 or 5 tight ends, who are you jazzed about of these guys?
Chris Herndon, baby. I'm just playing. Just did it.
All right, let's go west. AFC West. We have Denver at 7. I mean, who cares? Probably push.
Bush.
Yeah, who cares? Kansas City, 10.5. Over.
The Tyreek Hill thing is like a question mark, but I'm going to still go over because I believe enough in Patrick Mahomes' maturation in his technically third year. And
Mahomes can statistically regress in fantasy and still be a better quarterback
overall
this upcoming year.
Yep.
Like, that's the crazy thing about watching Patrick Mahomes last year and how productive he was. There were times when you're like, oh, he hasn't figured it all the way out yet. Like, there were times where you would see him, because Rodgers is great at this. Like, you would see him roll out of the pocket.
You talk about his eyes?
No, well, maybe. But, I mean, you could see him roll out of the pocket. And, like, he's got and he can run. And he's got miles of grass in front of him. But he would still try to rocket the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And it would be an incompletion. And it's like, no one cares about those plays because of the bottom line perspective. He was still great last year. But that's just an example of how he can take that next step. And maybe he's not rifling the ball down the field as much and throwing 50-plus touchdowns.
But his processing is going to improve. And I think, that's why I mentioned his eyes, because if you watch towards the end of the season, I think they were not as frenetic. Like, he was not dashing between players as much.
It's crazy. He's quarterback Jesus, and he's only started 1 year. I mean, he's literally God amongst us.
The speaking of God, someone who's very into God is Philip Rivers and the Chargers.
God, lightning bolts, Zeus situation, no, Jesus, quarterbacks. I don't know. Philip Rivers. That's where we landed.
9.5. Who cares?
Over. Over.
Fine. 10 wins. Yeah, fine. 10 wins. Who cares? For the record, there were 12 wins. They had a 12-4 record last year.
Joey Bosa healthy all year would be nice for them. Now
he's already hurt.
Well, I said it would be nice. I said in theory it would be nice.
Dealing with foot tenderness or something.
Oakland 6 wins. Yo, if they go under 6 wins, that team is going to be a mess. We haven't talked about Richie Incognito.
I think they can go I'm going to go over. I think seven wins is fine. I think it's fine. You have Antonio Brown. You better do something.
You better do something or it's going to be not
fun. And they're heading into Vegas next year. Like, that, they're seven.
Fine. They're the weirdest team I've ever seen.
Well, that's a team where mom and dad don't get along. Or you can see it happening.
Oh, you see, speaking as someone who has divorced parents, it's like, you can see the cracks, you know, like this is like about in early high school when you're like, okay, you know, mom and dad, things are good, but a little, I can see some issues. And then, you know, come in your senior year of college, it's like, hey, I graduated from college. And then your parents are like, hey, we graduated from being married to each other.
Hey, did you know, Brett, that this was a therapy session for Matt?
No. Do I got a Venmo you guys pay me for this?
I don't take insurance.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be pricey. But yeah, so I mean, I think you're right. It's
there's
one of those
conflicting
types of
philosophies, clearly. If you want to talk about
it, shows you Max running the draft and Gruden is running the pro personnel stuff, which is just berserk to me. I mean, the whole thing is nuts.
You want to move to the NFC West and talk about your favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals?
Five wins.
Oh, over five wins. If this,
I don't
if
know.
This
is a hard division.
This is going to work.
This is a tough division, though. I mean, I think they can be a fun, interesting offense, and like we're excited about them next year. But
they won three games last year. You don't think that they can best that? But you don't think you can win two more games under this new system with this new amazing number one overall pick, a quarterback? You don't think they can best their record by two?
Who's falling off? I think San Francisco's a better team than them.
I think the Rams are going to regress. We've talked about that. There's no way the Rams are putting up 13 wins again this year.
No, but 11 wins. Is Seattle going to fall off? Is Seattle going under 8.5 in your scenario?
I think Seattle's staying at 10, like 9 to 10 wins. Sure, they'll be over 8, but I don't.
Bryce, you got 10 wins in Seattle. You've got 11 wins in LA.
Sure.
San Francisco, I think their line is at 8 wins. Sure. And I think that's perfect. I'll push that. Maybe over to 9-7. I don't know how
they're
the math
already
works
hurt.
Out. Yeah, I know. But they're hurt at the position that doesn't matter, which is running
back. Nick Bosa's hurt. Well, the prince who was promised needs to get his midsection wrapped.
Yeah, I know. Something's going on there in San Francisco. What are they doing?
You know
there?
That, like, I looked it up and they're old. I don't know if this guy still has the job, but at the head of last year in August, I looked up their strength and conditioning coach and it was a strength and conditioning coach from Washington. And I was like, well, why did you do that, bro? Like,
hey, Washington's hurt too. They're hurt as well.
That's the point. Like, why would you ever hire that strength and conditioning coach? But I don't know if that guy still has the job.
I feel like a strength and conditioning coach is a job that's like, you're just going to get thrown under the bus. Like, these guys are like getting hurt. It's going to happen. And like, it could be total coincidence. Everyone's looking at you like, oh, this is totally your fault. And it's like, maybe. I mean, maybe it's his fault. Who knows? His players are getting hurt, you know? It happens.
Chip Kelly would make sure they had their banana smoothies.
By the way, Chip Kelly is hiring like so many of these like football analytics, Twitter, like young dudes. Ethan Young, I used to work with in Next Gen Stats, the NFL. Keegan Abdu, who did some time there last year at the NFL Next Gen Stats department. Those guys are like all working gigs for UCLA now. Here with Chip Kelly. It's a very interesting little pipeline they've got going
on. I did
on.
Not get to share my Benny Snell nug, so I'm going to hold that for a future episode. It is a good one. And it comes from someone who is an expert. Matt's just trying to make fun of me.
Can't wait for the Benny Snell nug.
Just don't hit that unsubscribe button. Like, if you're not subscribed, subscribe to the podcast
just
now
so you get that Snell
because
nug.
Because 1 week from today, we're going to have hot Snell nugs. It
Snell,
sounds horrible.
Snell nugs.
I don't even want to say it anymore.
Grind up your Snell nugs and smoke them, baby.
Benny Snell is not one of the rookies profiled in your rookie orientation miniseries podcast, but you are dropping your third episode this coming Monday. Right now, you've got Nick Bosa, who we mentioned earlier. We've got Hollywood Brown. I've listened to both of these podcasts.
Which one did you think was better?
Nick Bosa.
Okay.
Maybe because it was first. Also, I think I knew more about, and we met Hollywood at the draft. Like, I've never met Nick Bosa. Right. And there's another social component to Nick Bosa that's kind of fascinating.
Interesting, yeah.
Why do you ask?
Do
you have a preference?
I would think it was cool to have player audio for Brown. I think that added something. So I thought, but I love both my children equally.
I will say you guys
same
before.
Here. I love both my children.
That's not
equally.
True. There's a favorite, and it's not me. Lindsay Fulton, the great producer, lead producer of that show.
Rookie Orientation.
Rookie Orientation just sent me that it's in the she sent me a screenshot just literally right as talking about it. It's in the New and Noteworthy on Apple Podcasts. So go subscribe, baby. Yeah.
I will say I have listened to both episodes as I mentioned, and it's pretty good. I mean, you could use some different voices, but it's pretty good.
What do you mean different voices?
We have got some episodes coming up with some voices that might be different.
You mean you?
Yeah.
Well,
subscribe to that to hear Liz on future episodes of Rookie Orientation.
We, by the way, I'm just going to run this by you on air. Lindsay wants you to come
nope,
on the...
I already talked to her and nope is the answer.
Okay. You sure after the whole,
I got lit up on Twitter about it? No, thank you.
The Daniel Jones... You got lit up on Twitter about Daniel Jones breadstick incident? Yep. Did you get lit up more than the tweet about Pat Shermer saying that those boys were good under the covers or whatever?
No.
I mean... Yeah. What the hell is going on?
Liz is leaving the room. She's leaving the room.
Pat Shermer, come back to us. I mean, did he literally, when I tweeted out that quote, I mean.
Matt didn't just tweet it out. You texted it to me as well.
Yeah.
Because
I actually told, the line I said to you was, looks like that breadstick's not the only stick that Daniel Jones knows how to work or whatever. And I showed that to Ryan Dornbush, our master producer here for Yahoo Sports Video. And he's a Giants fan. He's like, very good.
Excellent.
Very good. also, you're fired.
I will talk
don't
to
come back.
I will talk to Lindsay about any Daniel Jones takes. I just am reticent to go on an orientation podcast because I did not speak directly to him, and this was an outsider observation. That's all.
You just note that he's got them breadsticks.
You know, he goes to the Olive Garden and he has one thing in mind.
But the thing is, this breadstick.
Don't knock the Olive Garden, y'all. Like, that's it's not. Incorrect. No, no. Incorrect. Some of us didn't grow up rich, Matt, and had to go to get.
Excuse me.
Breadsticks and raspberry lemonade.
Once again, also raspberry lemonade, gross. Lemonade's just kind of disgusting in general. But number two.
Matt's food takes. I cannot.
And number two. I grew up in the whitest of white suburbs ever. Like, going to the Olive Garden was like a fancy dinner. And, you know, that was bad. So I don't need this rich comment. That's offensive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, not at all.
No, you're not. Weird ending to the pod. Subscribe to Rookie Orientation. Where you won't get anything like this. You'll get me in a professional setting. Also, I cannot tell you how hard I'm going to crash after this podcast is over. I'm just exhausted. It's gonna hit. Yeah. Mm. Are we still recording?
We certainly are. Who's on Rookie Orientation this week? We didn't say that.
TJ Hawkinson. You're welcome.
Yeah, TJ Hawkinson. We just had a great interview this at 7 frickin' in the morning with Gary Dolphin, the voice of play-by-play voice for Iowa Hawkeyes Sports Network.
Well, thank you, Matt, for promoting your pod for 20 minutes.
You're welcome.
If you would like to subscribe to this pod, please smash that subscribe button. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at Liz Loza _FF. That's at Matt Harmon _BYB. And we, for the moment, are out.